Well, this morning, as a starting point, by the way, I guess I should say this is a starting point. We have new technology again. How about that? We've got some new technology that's gone on with the streaming of this. I don't know if you've seen the streaming and the new technology. For the church, we are using Discord. How about that? That's different. Believers are to be in one accord, but this Discord has provided us this upgrade in technology and new places. And last week, I had the humiliating experience of sitting down and watching how much sharper this technology is. Wow. And as a result, I decided I need to smile more. I need to be a little bit more upbeat because it's too crystal clear. It is too crystal clear. So I hope you're enjoying the new technology and the smile, and hold me accountable. I am going to be more. I'm going to take a lesson from John Piper on this. Yeah, I need to. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. That is when he is most glorified. So this morning, as a starting point, I was talking about, as a starting point, let's see, make sure we're on, new technology on, forward it goes, let's see, forward is down, there you go, forward is down, that's different, backward is up. So I'm going to use a starting point by making a point. And as I make this point, I want you to consider, reflect on this, and decide for yourself that, yes, I buy that, I'm all about it. That's one option. The other option is to, no, that's really not the way I see to be all about it. No. So, two options. Yes, I'm all about it, and no, not so much. Concerning the point that I'm going to make. And here's the point. Oh, by the way, you are here, okay? In this point, you are somewhere on this. You say, is there a third option? Well, not really, because if it's not the one, it really goes to the other, and you are somewhere on this. So here's the point. There it is. Christianity is Jesus Christ. It's about following him. So now I want you to pause and to reflect on that. Christianity, it is Jesus Christ about following. That's what it's about. That's what Christianity is about. Now, I don't mean following him like on Facebook or some social media, you know, where you like or you dislike this or that. I'm talking about following him in the sense that he directs and you adjust your thinking, you adjust your speaking and your actions as you direct. That's following him. And that's what Christianity is about. Jesus Christ, following him. And as you're thinking about that, I want to give you a couple of things to consider here. One is this. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, this is a statement where the where the guy called Barnabas, the encourager, goes and finds Saul, who becomes the apostle Paul, just a name change there. And he comes and he teaches for over a year these disciples. And the word disciple means someone who is following a teacher. They're learning not only their doctrine, but also their manner of life. That's a disciple. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now, some people, I don't really like the Christian. It's so colored in our generation. There's so many things that are mixed in. And that's indeed true. But the Bible talks about being called Christians as disciples. So as you think about this, Christianity is Jesus Christ, and it's about following him. I want you to think of that. And what the Apostle Paul added to that a little bit later, he said to the believers, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning. You can think about that if you got a little history at all with the scriptures. That's kind of at the beginning point. Serpent deceived Eve by his cunning. I'm afraid that as that happened to Eve, your thoughts will be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. And he kind of boils it down there. Here it is. Simplicity, singleness, that's what that word means, and purity, straight up, straightforward, just that way, devotion to Christ. So are you settled on your answer? Have you come to it? Do you have it? Christianity is Jesus Christ, about following him. Are you settled? Apostle Paul seems to be settled here. Are you settled? And I'm talking about for you. This answer is for you. Then I want you to turn with me to a passage about a promise concerning Christ. The passage that I want you to turn to is in the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 is where I want you to turn. Isaiah chapter 9. Now, this passage in Isaiah 9 was understood to be about Messiah, which is the Old Testament expression for what is expressed as Christ in the New Testament. From the earliest ages, both the Jews and the Christians have seen this as a prophetic note about Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's even quoted as the New Testament as being about Jesus by Matthew in Matthew chapter 4. Now, what I want to do in this is to run through a reading and a running commentary on what's being said here. So, you are here, somewhere. Based on that starting point, you are here, somewhere. And here is the prophetic promise about Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. It's talking about a nation here being in anguish and having gloom. Now, a nation is not like just some place that has political activities and economy and a culture that kind of somewhat unifies it. It's not a thing. It's called a group of people here. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he, referring to God, brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Now, let me put up a map here that I want you to see. This is really a simplistic map of Israel, and it has the time in which the 12 tribes were around, and there's Zebulun, and there's Naphtali, and it's kind of in the north there. It's the north. That's the Sea of Galilee, and this is the Jordan River, and that's Benjamin. This is the Red Sea right there. So when he talks about this, he's talking about a nation that has had anguish, and he's talking about the northern part of this nation with its anguish. And the reason for that was because in 2 Kings chapter 15, which this is prophetic about that time of anguish, there was an invasion in the land by the king of Assyria. And they were the first to experience it and had the anguish of having their nation taken from their hands, their culture, their way of life, the way the things that they were accustomed to and they wanted gone. And he says, in the former time, he, God, brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles or the nations. God makes it glorious, though it first seemed anguish. He goes on. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You, God, have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, and they rejoice as with joy at the harvest. They are glad when they divide the spoils, the outcome. That's the kind of rejoicing that is going when God, seemingly at first, led them into contempt and anguish. He brought this joy. And he begins to explain. He says, because you've done this. Verse 4. Because the yoke of his burden, this nation, and the staff for its shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as in the day of Midian. This was the day in which Gideon had victory over Midian. And you remember the Midianites were the descendants of Abraham and Keturah, and that whole problem of that prodigy that they experienced going on right there in their own land. There is victory, he says, as in the day of Midian, when God threw, remember what God did with Gideon? He said, no, it's too many, Gideon. Because he wanted them to rejoice in his doing, not in the power of our hand. Quite a thing. That's how the joy comes. Because, this is why they get joy, because every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment roll in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. The warfare, the conflict, the fighting is ongoing, will be over with. No longer any need. And here is why. Statement number 3, because. Verse 6. Oh, by the way, I need to smile. Sorry, getting a little intent. Because to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Now this is something to smile about. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forever, guarantee, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish. He will do this. That's a great promise. Some of it was fulfilled when Jesus stepped into that land of the Galilee, Matthew chapter 4, and he began his ministry. That's the quote. Behold, the people that were in darkness saw a great light. But that is only the first stage of the fulfillment of that thing. Most of this prophetic note is still yet future in the second arrival of Christ, the child. First note, that was born, has the government on his shoulders. Second coming, second note. And of the increase of his government, it's going up, it's going up, it's going up, and his peace in that. There's no end. It's forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He will do this. That's quite a promise that's given to us here. Quite a promise. And there's a point. The point that Jesus made is that your participation in this peace is for now. It's for now. Here, let me show you. Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 27. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus has told them that he's departing, that he's going away. That he, in his going away, will be able, as he goes away and when he's gone, to accomplish a whole bunch for them. And as he's getting ready to go, John chapter 14 at verse 27, he promises that he will send the Spirit to them to replace him. He will not leave them as orphans. He will come to them, and the Spirit will be with them, and it will be in them. And then right after that, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither be fearful.
Question, what if somebody comes up to you and they say, peace, brother, peace. And you know, it kind of, you probably recognize some of the folks here, right? Here is Willie Nelson. You see who he's with? Bernie Sanders. Peace, brother. And boy, that's just the political stuff that I'm talking about. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Man, have I heard it. Wow.
And there's some other people here you may recognize. How about this one? Imagine there's no heaven. You know it's easy if you try. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living life in woo-hoo, may say, I'm a dreamer. And I'm not the only one. And they come, peace, brother, peace. And how about this one? You know who that is? Jimmy Martin. That is the picture from the Super Bowl when he is the honorary captain who has been in two terms overseas, one in Afghanistan, one in Iraq, came back injured, working now with wounded warriors. And do you see what he's doing there? You can hardly see it. Right here. It stood out to me when I saw this. He's doing peace. It depends on who it is who comes up to me and says, peace, brother. I mean, if it's this, but if it's this, how about this? Maybe that? It depends. Well, how about this? How about if it's Jesus who comes up to you and says, peace? Well, no, he did it like this. Peace, brother. And I want you to know, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Peace. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And he meant it for them there and then. And for his followers, all the way up to us here and now. Peace established, peace experienced, his peace. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here's one for you. Peace, brother. From Jesus, here's one for you. Peace, brother. From Jesus, like Jesus meant it. And what we're going to talk about this morning is this: owning the peace that he leaves. We're going to talk about accepting the my peace that he emphasized here. And that he gives. Accepting this. Owning the peace. Accepting my peace. His peace. And then using these peace offerings as he intends. That's what we're going to see here. And again, I like to emphasize this kind of repeatedly. These are not my ideas. These are not my ideas. This is not my writing. This is the Spirit who Jesus has just told us would lead them into the truth, teaching them the truth, and bringing these things to remembrance. That's Jesus' words via the Spirit, teaching and bringing to these remembrance, or these to our remembrance. That's what this is. So, as we're talking about these exceedingly great and precious promises, which the Lord has designed for us to be partakers with him in the kind of disposition that he has, the outlook, the attitudes, the interactions that he has, these exceedingly great and precious promises, here's the first. Owning the peace Jesus said that he leaves. He wasn't gone yet, so this was a promise. Peace I leave with you. What peace did Jesus leave? What on earth is he talking about? Well, first of all, I want you to know that peace as a term is used of a settled down, a settling, quietness, and harmony. That's what the term peace is used here. Refers to. It's a very prosperous state, not necessarily prosperous financially, but it's a very well-off state to be in. And when he talks about peace, I leave with you, because he was going, and as he talks about peace that I leave with you, the peace that he describes, or the peace to get the picture of what it is described for us well in Colossians chapter 1 by the Apostle Paul. It was the peace that he was leaving. You see, he was going away. He was going the way of the cross. And what that meant for them. And the Apostle Paul describes what this way of his leaving involved. Now, I'm going to go through that Colossians chapter 1. And as I go through this, I'm going to highlight for you on the screen here some particular points that are pertinent. Colossians chapter 1, describing this peace at verse 19, says this, "For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Everything that God was in his completeness was pleased to dwell in Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't utilize it all, and I won't go into that right now, but it was all there. Everything that God is and was and ever will be was there in Jesus, the fullness of him. And through him, through this Christ, to reconcile to himself all things. This peace as described as being a reconcile. Things out of accord with each other. They're in discord. Not like you're getting it streamed to you. But they're not harmonized. They're not equal. It's kind of like sometimes you think your bank account is this, and the bank thinks your bank account is this, and then you have to reconcile those. I used to use that to reconcile the illustration of a check, but who knows what a check is nowadays, right? I mean, debit card, credit card, yeah. We had to use a check the other day. It was like, do I know how to do this anymore? Reconcile. Reconcile, bringing them out of discord with each other back into harmony. He was all the fullness of God reconciled to himself all things. And he goes on here, reconciled them to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the peace that he was establishing in his leaving. This is the objective peace, harmony that was being made through the blood of the cross. Reconciling to God, bringing things out of harmony back into a settled, calm, quiet harmony by the blood of his cross. This was the peace that he was leaving and establishing, making as he went. And this peace, I'm going to move that up and add this, by the blood of his cross, did this. The rest of this reads like, and you, this involves you. You are here in this. And you were alienated. That means at odds and hostile in your mind,
hostile in your thinking. No, I really liked God. No, you liked your idea of God and not the God who is there. No, I've always thought well of. No, you had your opinion of God, but the God who is there, you were hostile in mind towards in our natural state. We are born bent away. We are born enemies of God like He is. And that's where the reconciliation came in. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing harmful things, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. That's the peace. That's the peace. That's the peace that He made through the blood of His cross. Totally enemies and hostile towards God, He brings back into harmony. Through the blood of His cross, paying the total debt that we have towards God with our sin. That's the peace. And in Jesus, on the night that He's leaving, He looks to them and He says, "Peace, I leave with you. Peace. It's what I've been about. It's what I'm doing. It's what I came for. It's this peace." Oh, that we would own it. Oh, that we would. That there is an objective, established peace at the very highest plane of hostility. Ours. As a people towards God, supreme peace is established. And He says this peace is ours. If you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting, get this, not shifting with the changing of the times and the changing of the seasons and the changing of a culture and the fear the change of culture brings and the way things are compared to the way they used to be and who can raise kids in this time period. If we're not, shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, the good news of this peace, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, am a minister. This is the established peace. This is it. The Apostle Paul in another place said it like this, "But now in Christ you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace." This is peace. This is harmony. This is settledness. This is the quiet, the tranquility for your soul. You know, this is not like 21st century stuff, though it's like so relevant for 21st century. And Christians in the 21st century, and Christians in America in the 21st century, and Christians in Brunei in the 21st century. It's established peace. This is you can see this is an old book, right? This is a Alexander McLaren. I've got
the messages he preached for years. And he said, "My brother, no man can be at rest. To the very roots of his being, in the absence of the consciousness that he is at peace with God. There may be tumults of gladness, and there may be much of stormy brightness in life, but there cannot be the calm, still, impenetrable, all-pervading, central tranquility that our souls hunger for, unless we know and feel that we are right with God, that there is nothing between us with him. And it is because Jesus Christ, dying on the cross, made it possible for you and me to know." And oh, that we would own this. Oh, that we would own this in our times. That we would own this. So what peace did he leave? There. How does this peace come? How does this peace become experienced? By this. It's by faith. Since we have been justified, put in a position with God where there is an established harmony, made right with him. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in which we have gained access into this faith by grace. It's through him we've gained access to this, and we rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Oh, that we would own this. Oh, that we'd see where this peace takes us. That we would grasp this with our souls, and that we would feel this established, objective, done deal, made peace with God. I want you to know it would change absolutely everything in our experience if we would allow the Spirit to turn up our mind. Remember, like he said, he'll bring these things to remembrance if we would allow him. What a peace. This is about trusting. I am. Since we have been justified by faith, we have this peace, and we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, this was such a big thing, a reminder that I so needed, that when Alita and I were first married, we had our checks. I'm big on checks today. We had our checks printed, and we printed this verse across the top of our check so that every time I wrote a check, every time we sent it somewhere to pay a bill, this would be turned up in our remembrance. This as a message going out. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We've got it through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this peace doesn't end there. This is an established done deal with his leaving. Jesus saying this then talks to them right away about my peace. There's a call here. There's a thing that he's appealing to here for us. As a gift offering, he makes an appeal that we accept this gift. He says it like this way: "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you."
It's different than what's going on in the world. It's different. As a matter of fact, a couple of points here. What is Christ's peace that's being offered? First of all, it's a specific peace. It's His peace. It's the peace that He experienced. Even in times of trouble, John chapter 18, if I had time, I would do this. I'd take you to John 18. The time of trouble when He was being arrested, when they were coming to take Him away, Him knowing where He was going, His well aware of what's coming down here. He just got done sweating drops like blood over this whole thing. And then they show up to arrest Him, John 18. You know what Peter does? He's ready to fight. This ain't going down without a fight. Sorry, I forgot to smile there. Because there's a lot of folks not smiling now. That this ain't going down without a fight. And a lot of those folks are Christ followers, so they say. And shirts that talk about Jesus saves storming the Capitol because this ain't going down without a fight. And I want you to know that that is heresy. That is Christian nationalism. And it is not Christianity. Jesus Christ following Him. And it's got so much turbulence and disturbance, and I hear it ongoing repeatedly, even now. Jesus talks about a specific peace. My peace. In John chapter 18, when they came to take Him and Peter grabbed the knife to cut off the ear because this ain't going down without a fight. Remember what Jesus did? You remember what Jesus? This is Jesus. He pulled Peter back. He healed the ear. And He went contrary to this. And they came to take Him. And He said, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." And He says, "I'm Him." You know what happened to them? They did this. What on earth is that? There is some striking supernatural power thing about Jesus here that it knocked them on their can when He said that. There's something supernatural about giving place to God here. Don't miss it. He asked again. As they kind of got up, dusted themselves off, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "That's me." And they took Him. That's the kind of peace that I'm talking about. It's the peace that He possessed as He moved in accord with what God was doing on this planet, as he decided, "Not my will, but yours be done," and He went with Him. That's the peace. It's a powerful thing, this peace. It's a distinct peace, not as the world gives. You will never get this in all the turn of events and circumstances that headed on the planet. This will never happen for you. You will never receive except as a gift Christ's peace. The world can't get it. Not when it's all going your way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-day. Wonderful feeling. It's everything is going my way, not when it's all going your way and not when it's all against you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to give it. It never will, never can. God never intended it to. It's a peace that the Colossians says, chapter 3, verse 15, can rule in your heart. This settled harmony, this calmness and quiet in your soul can be there. Let this peace rule in your heart, to which we were called. All of us who are believers, we were called in one body, one group, to let this peace of Christ rule. Rule. It reigns. It calls the shots. It gives the directions in our heart. Colossians 3:15. Can. Let it rule. It can. How? How is Christ's peace experienced? How does it come home to me? How does it? How does it? Well, you see, when we're born of the Spirit, we're born of the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit that like a newborn baby, makes us different. It's new. It's like a new person there. And being born of that Spirit, the Spirit produces this. And by the way, I'm just giving you those verses. This is what I'm talking about. Being born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above. We're born of this Spirit. And that Spirit that we're born of, that now is in us, produces this. It makes this. For the fruit, the product, the produce of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its desires and passions. If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. It comes by being produced in us when we keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit produces love, and we keep in step by fostering love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love doesn't seek its own. When we pursue that, when we keep in step with the Spirit produces this supernatural. I'm talking about supernatural here. It's a Spirit-produced thing, but we intend to walk with the Spirit. We keep in step with expressing love, expressing joy. Can I tell you, I have heard very little joy expressed. Very little joy expressed around. I've heard a lot of grumbling and complaining. I mean, you know how cold it is, and you know this is the most depressing time of the year, and how can this Lady Liberty needs to get up and fight? Keeping step with Spirit is expressing joy. You want a verse? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Rejoice always and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. I seek to express joy rather than grumbling and complaining. Let's see, the Bible says something about that. Let all grumbling and complaining be away from you, along with all malice, and be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, and because by this you shine as lights in the world, and crooked and perverse. Wow, does that fit?
Philippians chapter 3. Yeah. And peace, fostering a settledness, a harmony.
That mean never expressing your opinion? That mean peace at any price? No, it means that we express our opinion in the right way. And that opinion as a believer, let's see, Christianity is a follower of Christ. And okay, that has something to do with him. That has something to do with him. Final thing here, using this peace. Because Jesus doesn't leave it there. This offer of his peace to be accepted, his peace that he experienced, he doesn't leave it there. He doesn't leave it there. He goes one step further. He gives us an imperative. Jesus says, this is imperative. This is imperative. This is imperatival. This is of necessity. And he does it twice here. He uses two imperatives. He says, this is of utmost importance. This is imperatival. He says, let not your heart be troubled. How do we get in on this? Don't let your heart be agitated, stirred up. Yeah. Just like that washing machine, looking into it, opening the hood, and the agitator going, and you see that all go. Don't let that be going on in your heart. Don't let it be troubled. Don't allow that. It's a passive thing that we allow to come on us by the things that we observe and what we then keep in step with. The spirit or the spirit of the age. Don't let it be troubled. Don't be fearful. You know, and maybe I shouldn't go here. The younger believers, they have a reason. The older believers, they have a reason. The older believers, they're kind of fearful about how things are changing, and this isn't the Christian nation. And by the way, can I tell you, the nation was never Christian. The people can be Christians. And the younger folks, well, they're kind of seeing, you know, there needs to be a fair deal here. How to be in on this as Jesus intended? I want you to get the impression. It goes like this. Rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, talking to God in general as your day goes on, supplications, listing out these specific needs that God you're asking to give attention to, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And result, how you're in on this? The peace of God that passes all your comprehension. Guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Then thinking. Finally then, brethren, think on these things, whatsoever is true, what's real, what's honorable, what's noble, what's lovely, what's commendable, what's of good report. If there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Get the impression that it's this ongoing interaction with God. Get in your thinking the focus on what is being accomplished here by the hand of God, the good that's being shown by believers in this age. Do that, and the God of peace will be with you. How to be in on this? And by the way, can I share this with you? This thing of peace, Isaiah 26, belongs to him who keeps his mind stayed. Here, on what we've talked about, keeps his mind stayed. And there is no point of end to this peace.
because the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. It is forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Where do you put your hope? Where do you put your hope? In expressing discontent and let it be known, focusing on those things? Or is your hope doing, is your hope focused on what God has been doing since Adam and Eve? Where's your hope? There's a way that God works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, glad that we can run to you. Glad that we can be reminded of what you've established, taught about what we can experience of Jesus' peace, knowing that our hearts are so prone to wander. But Lord, there's a way of coming back. It's always the way. It's trusting. I am. Providing now and forever what we need. It's the way you forgive. It's the way you provide. Do it for us again. February 2021, Valentine's Day. In Jesus' name.